Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome everybody today and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You know, God is so good. You look at the times we're living in. You look at, how many of you are ready for some sunshine? Seeing a lot of rain here lately, but you know what? We need that rain. And I thank God that He's in charge, that He knows what we need when we need it. So I just want to just welcome everybody here in a special way, knowing that you are special in this body. You know, we are a body. We're all jointly joined together. Each of us have different functions, but we're so grateful. But what I'd like to do today is I'd just like to open in prayer and just, let's just give this day to God, okay? Lord, we're so grateful that You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Master, Creator of all things. We pray today that we open our hearts and our minds and let our ears hear that which the Spirit is speaking to our hearts today. Lord, and I just pray that as Fred does the message, Lord, that You just bless him and just anoint him with Your spiritual blessing. And we just come with an open heart of welcoming Your Spirit into our lives and what You have for us today. And we want to give back, Lord, in praise and worship. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion.
Faithful.
lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been paid. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Father, we're just so grateful that all of our lives we just want to be faithful to you. I pray today, Lord, as we go through our service and as we move through this service, that, Lord, you are blessed. And, Lord, that you hear our praises ringing out to you because you are so faithful. And you are worthy of all of our praise. And today we want to thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us, that we can stand up and call you righteous, and stand up and know that you are our righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for all that are participating in our service today. But Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise in your precious name. Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, right? One day closer, church. One day closer, right? Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to speak today. And of course, I want to thank God for considering me a vessel to deliver your word. Today's word, I've been praying on, and I've been kind of searching and trying to grow closer to Christ. And, you know, as we walk with Christ, it's always a journey, right? And that's what I love about Christ, is that we're always learning. He's always, you know, peeling the onion back, right? Really trying to get down to what makes us tick. And that's what this message is about today. All right, so I'm going to give this a shot here, Matt, okay? Ready? Here we go. There it is. I got control of the clicker today. I don't know if that's a good thing, but we're going to figure it out. So I'd like to open up in prayer just to get us started. Laura, I just want to say thank you for bringing us together, bringing the church together. I hope that in my message today that I speak to someone. I know I'm going to be giving the church body a lot of information today. And the purpose of it really is to equip the saints. Pastor Mike Gibbs last week said, I got to equip this. We have to equip the saints to go out and do God's word. Amen. So with that said, Lord, I hope that my words, that the Holy Spirit anoints them and they carry through this church, throughout the city of Fortuna, throughout the state of California, so we could change ourselves before we change other people, because that's where it begins, Lord, in you and us. Amen. Okay, so the name of my sermon today is Oops, Did I Say or Do That? Feelings and emotions. So my sermon today is about how our feelings and emotions play a big role in our thought life. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about psychiatric help. I'm not talking about, you know, in-depth depression. If that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day-to-day stuff. Okay? I encourage you to seek psychiatric help if you have some sort of diagnosis. My conversation today, I'm not a doctor, but I am a follower of Christ, and I feel, and I'm human, right? And I think, and that's my topic today. So throughout the last couple of weeks, personally, I've been through a lot of emotional ups and downs, right? It's life. At work, family, we've had some litigation, legal challenges. Last week, I went to a funeral. And it's amazing to me how the Lord has blessed us with emotions and feelings. Psalms 139:14 says, Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And he's giving us emotions. He's giving us feelings. We could experience joy. We could experience happiness, excitement, the pleasures of life. On the other hand, he's also given us feelings of anger, right? Sadness, anxieties. These emotions left unchecked, right, could cause us to do damage to other people. We speak out in the ways we shouldn't speak out. We say things we shouldn't say. And, you know, I have, throughout my life, you could ask my wife, I've said things, which she's over there, Melissa, you could say hi. For those of you that, I'm being rude, for those of you that haven't met my wife, that's Melissa. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Okay? So throughout my life, some of the biggest decisions I've made that were wrong, mind you, the errors I've made were decisions that were emotionally driven. right? And I really didn't bring logics or sense, or you use my analytical piece of my brain, which we're going to talk about a little bit more here, the next couple of slides. They were just driven by emotion. And even though our emotions can be good and our feelings can be good, sometimes our feelings and emotions lie to us. Right? Because we tend to react. And if you're like me, and Jesus Christ is still working in me, I need to slow down. I need to slow down, take my time. And as I continue my walk with Christ, I'm reminded of how human I still am. And I need to cut myself a break. But we need to be intentional and being mindful in Christ and standing in Christ, right? To really understand the root causes of our emotions and our feelings. So that our thought life doesn't get contaminated. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. All right. So with that said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a story that just happened. And, you know, God's objective today is to bring a refresher and sensible tactics. That you walk away here with some sensible tactics and a process to help you recognize those triggers that you have. Okay? Keep your hearts clean. We will look at scripture and biblical truth to our circumstances. Amen? Because really, this is what we lean on. Right? Okay? All right, so let's begin. 7,000. And my wife is, you know, probably going to laugh at this, but that's okay. Because the Lord kind of confirmed my message this week. The message that I'm about to give you. 7,000. So about in December, late November, I had a client who at my work that wanted us to go to Boston to meet and have a meeting, a 3-hour meeting. And so early December, I'm thinking, all right, Boston in February, middle of winter, that just doesn't sound right, right? If you're ever in Boston in February, there's snow and the inclement weather, so on and so forth. Who's been to Boston? Who knows of that area? Of course, we all do, right? So I kind of had a weird feeling. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to be a good soldier. My boss committed to go. I committed to go. And two other directors committed to go. And so December goes by. January goes by. And, of course, the anticipation in meeting this client, they're excited about it. So, sure enough, Monday comes along. And that's when I left to Boston, woke up really early in the morning, caught my flight, drove 4.5 hours to San Francisco. The math wasn't working out. I knew I was going to be traveling, 4.5 hours plus a good 7 hours in the airplane. That's 11.5. Is that my math work out right? Yeah, 11.5 hours to arrive, wake up the next morning, have a 3-hour meeting. The math at that point doesn't begin to make sense. Let's see here, 11.5 hours, 3 hours for a meeting. I'm questioning it. Okay, so I get to my terminal, and 10 minutes before I board my flight, my boss calls me, David, and David says, "Freddie, my flight has been delayed. I don't think I'm going to go because I'm going to miss my connecting flight." And I'm thinking, okay, no worries. Well, why? Well, it's been postponed because of the weather. Okay, David, don't worry about it. My flight is still good. It's on time, right? I'm going to jump on. Everything's going to work out. We'll Zoom you, right? Video calls or technology nowadays allows you to be in two places in one time. So I jump on my flight. I end up taking off. The other two directors, in the meantime, as I'm in the air, enjoying my little 2x2 seat, right? Right? Just sitting there. And if, my tush isn't like as it used to be, am I allowed to say that? I think I am, right? So I'm playing the seat dance. Right? So Anyway, I digress. I don't even know why I said that, but I'm just trying to give you an idea as to what's happening here. So I get to Logan Airport, right, at about 10:30. It's dark, right? And it's coming down. It's raining hard. And I've never been to Boston. I've never been to Logan Airport. Mind you, it's going under a lot of construction right now. So as we get to the terminal, my phone begins to get the back online, and my phone is going crazy. It's like it's buzzing after buzz after buzz after buzz, giving me updates. Mind you, my phone was at about 15% at that time. Okay, you see where this is going. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's fine, Lord, you got this. So my phone continues to buzz. I'm getting messages left and right. And as I'm just watching it, my phone's just going crazy. Like it was upset for myself for traveling this far. So I get my bag and I start walking out of the airplane, get onto the terminal. My phone is doing a self countdown, battery countdown. So it's going from 14. Every time it buzzed, it was going to 10, to 13, to 11. So I'm like, what's going on here? My phone's never done this before, right? The messages are coming through. So I pause for a minute, sit down, I look at my messages, and the meeting has been canceled. Okay? So at this point, I feel, you know, certain things start coming out of my mouth that I wouldn't be... that I wouldn't be repeating here today. So I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. It's okay. You know, just, you know, join. The meeting went from meeting in person to going virtual. No problem. That's fine. Not going to worry about it. You got this. And my phone's still doing its thing. Don't know why. Down to 10%. So I go to the rental car agency, Avis, to get my rental car. And as I'm getting into the line, there was about three people in line, and there's at the counters there's bulletins that say in big red words, heavy inclement weather. There's going to be, you know, 8 to 12 inches of snow. I'm like, ah, that's all right. I'm still trying to maintain my my composure here. Exactly. I'm still trying to maintain my composure, even though inside I was like burning up and I felt myself kind of. So I get to the counter and the guy's like, you know what? And he reminds me of the bulletin that's on the counter. And he says, I'm going to give you a Suburban. I'm going to give you a Suburban. I'm going to give you a big car, 4x4, just in case. Just in case the weather's so bad. I'm like, well, really, my meeting's been canceled. I'm just going to go 10 miles. I had already booked my hotel room. It was 10 miles away from the airport. So, I mean, how bad can it be, right? So the guy's like, I'm going to get you a Suburban. You're going to be fine. You know, you got everything you need. So he gets me checked out. Everything was going well. So I get into the Suburban, and I'm like, wow, okay. You know, I'm used to the, you know, the gear shift right in the center, and so it went from this to like the knobs, right? The knobs to put it in gear. To it's completely different now. If you've ever jumped in a new car, like a new car, you have the park, the neutral, the drive, and reverse, and you have to. My thought was you got to press the button, but you actually have to pull it out. Anyways, it took me about 15 minutes to figure it out. Okay. So by this time, I'm thinking, okay, you know, we're good. My phone is by 7% now. So I'm thinking, it's all right, I'm going to plug it into the Suburban and I'm going to start charging. And it wasn't charging. It wasn't charging. So by this time, I'm feeling my heart begin to beat. Okay, I got a new car, big car. I declined the insurance. My wife's going to laugh at me because I always decline insurance. I decline insurance and warranties on everything. So I'm feeling a little kind of angst at this point. And I put on my seatbelt. I'm good to go. It's a nice truck. I figure out how to put it in drive. And it's really raining hard at this point. I have the wipers at max. So I get out of the parking garage. I get out of the airport. and the car's on empty. And I have like about 3 miles left to empty. And then I got my phone buzzing, telling me now I'm at 5%. Like, I needed to know that. Okay, so at this point, you know, my blood pressure's so high, I'm feeling these emotions of anger. Okay, I wanted to take the truck back. But, I mean, I'm not familiar with Logan Airport, right? So my priority went from going to my hotel to finding a gas station, right? So I get out of the airport, and I can't find a gas station. It's raining. My phone's angry, going down to 3%. And I, luckily enough, I was able to put my navigation into the direction and the address into my navigation on my phone, mind you, which is now like at 3%. So I'm driving, looking at my phone, you know, and it's taking me to where I need to go. So I'm like, all right, I made it. But it was a dark area. I mean, there was no hotel there, right? So I don't know what Waze and or map, what Waze did. It just took me to the wrong location. And I'm like, that doesn't look like the Holiday Inn Express. And of course, it was coming down as an expressway. And I'm really, at this point, my anxiety level is through the roof. I pull a U-turn, you know, get into a parking spot where the hotel should be. And I'm like fuming at this point. I'm angry. I'm upset. Not in a good place. And I call my wife. I'm like, Melissa, I'm lost. I need you to pull up this address and just double check that this is the right spot. And I got cars zooming by and just, it was coming down. And as Melissa's plugging in the address in her computer, my phone dies. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Okay, so at this point, I have all these things going through my mind. For a moment there, I thought, I'm just going to kind of back up and just turn off the car and sleep in the truck, right? So this stuff was all going through my mind. But then, what if I do that and someone breaks into the truck, steals the truck, and I'm in a bad situation, right? And I'm going to be honest with you, I said things I shouldn't have said. And I said, Lord, I need you. I don't know what to do. I'm done. I'm exhausted. Still licking my wounds from the Niner loss. Okay. And I wasn't in a good place. I really wasn't. And in the midst of my mind just going crazy, I hear this distinct voice. Stay calm and move on. Stay calm and move on. And I'm thinking, how can I stay calm and move on at the same time? How can that be possible? I'm like, all right, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to move. I got back on the expressway. You would think things would get better, right? Got back on the expressway, took an exit. A Holiday Inn Express is right there. And I'm like, Lord, you got a sense of humor, don't you? So I get off. I go up to the counter and I'm like, I'm at the right place. And the guy's like, yeah, what's your reservation number? Oh, it's on my phone, which is dead, mind you. Here's my driver's license. Oh, no, you're in the wrong Holiday Inn Express. It's 5 blocks down. I'm like, so half of me wanted to say, what? How does that even make any sense? There's like 2 Holiday Inn Expresses 5 blocks away. Who made that decision? Right? And this, so I'm thinking, like, okay, all right, can I borrow your plug? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. So he gave me, you know, I went to my car, got my charger, plugged my phone, got the 2-3%. At this point, I'm not trusting my phone. Okay, so I asked him to give me directions. And he's like, yeah, just, you know, stay to the right and you'll eventually run into it. And okay, so I did that. I finally found it. By this time, I'm just beside myself and upset. You know, angry at myself and the circumstance, because I kind of knew back in November and December that this was going to happen. And So many things I wanted to say. I call my wife, hey, I made it. And she tells me, just be calm. When you're at your meeting tomorrow, you know, don't say something or react in a way that you shouldn't react. Okay, so that night, I got back on my my company portal, got an earlier flight out. I ended up leaving at 1 p.m. So I tell you this story. I tell you this story because our feelings and emotions, when we're under a lot of pressure, affect our thought life. Our thought life affects our emotions and our feelings, and in turn, lead to a behavior that may not be right. Okay, and it's important for us to understand that. I go back to what Mike Gibbs said last week. We need to be equipped to understand what we're up against. Okay? So we know, as Christians, that we're going to be faced with challenges and daily pressures every single day, and it's going to happen. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. I'll tell you what, I felt strange that night. I felt really, really strange. I felt like the enemy was laughing. I didn't feel good about it. James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world will therefore hate you. So I go back to Psalm 139:14. He made us in a beautiful way, and he made us in his own image. He gave us the ability to feel, the ability to have emotions, the ability to speak and articulate, to make our own decisions. The fact is that he also gave us sight, touch, hearing, taste, and smell. Our senses influence our thought life and emotions. You following me so far? Good. So even though these things may be a good thing, we got to be careful and understand what's happening. Be vigilant. Okay? Oh, I know that, you know, every time I go to my mom's house, I love food. Taste and smell always bring me to a place of warmth and comfort. Isn't that amazing? It triggers a sense of emotion when my mom makes this. My favorite plate is chilaquiles with eggs and beans. Amazing, right? And I just feel this comfort. So I'm gonna read this, and I apologize. I was trying to make this a little bigger. This is 2 Corinthians 5. Awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing, and I put the definition of longing here, yearning desire, to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So I want to just stop there. So we got a tent, a physical tent, an earthly tent. But our bodies, our soul and our spirits, our eternal home is in heaven. Our spirits are longing to have that heavenly dwelling. Does that make sense? So our spirits and our soul are yearning to be in our heavenly bodies. Amen? Right? Okay? Because we are clothed, we will not be found naked. While we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed. But to be clothed instead our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by this life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. He goes on to say that we live by faith, not by sight. Do you know what the tent is? That's the tent. That's the tent. Proverbs 14:12. Another example of the tent. There is a way that appears to be right to a man, but at the end, it leads in death. Ephesians 6:12, Amplified Version. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces. This presents dark. Of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So while I was in that car, full of anxiety, right? The fact of the matter is that I was just in a car and it was raining. All the other stuff was here. It was right here. I presented something in my brain that created me to have an emotion. Luckily enough, I didn't act out in an unsafe manner. You following me? You still with me, church? All right, good. Again, we live by faith, not by sight. All right. I'm going to give you some information here. Some of you that are in the medical industry and law enforcement, this is going to be a refresher. Okay, I encourage you to do some research on this. God has made us in a beautiful way. He's given us a brain, the ability to think. Within that, there's certain things in our makeup that I want you to understand today. The human brain has two frontal lobes, both of which are situated at the front of the organ. Reasoning takes place in the frontal lobes. Specifically, the frontal lobes are where a person rationalizes situations and makes decisions. So that's the prefrontal cortex right there. Okay? The amygdala, which is this guy, and it's about an almond-sized shape in your brain, is responsible and involved in processing emotions. When a person feels stressed or afraid, the amygdala releases stress hormones that prepare the body to fight, threat, or flee from danger. Okay? So when you're presented with a challenge in life that makes you feel angry or you have anxiety, guess what part of the brain you're using? Okay? So this is my long journey in understanding myself a little more. When I'm in a position of stress and anxiety, am I going to let that almond-shaped thing influence me so much that I am going to lash out at people? This is us. So I ask you, and you don't need to answer, are you a prefrontal vortex, a cortex person, or are you an amygdala person? Okay? Now, there's a time for everything. The book of Ecclesiastes says that, right? Talking about the day-to-day thoughts. Common emotions that trigger this response include fear, anger, and anxiety, and aggression. And it doesn't stop there. Our feelings and emotions, what we're going through. I got this from K-Love. I took a crisis care response, and these are the sensations when we're feeling certain emotions that we have. If you look at anger, look at anger. Anger, this is the first one right here. Anger has the body sensation from here and up, and it's red and orange. Fear, disgust, happiness, sadness, surprise, neutral, anxiety, love. Love is from here up. Depression, contempt. Look at pride. That's pride right here. And then compare it to anger. Isn't that something? So when you would, so next time you're in a situation where you feel a certain way or there's an emotion being triggered, that affects you in one form, way, or the other. In this case, it has a physiological effect. When a person senses a threat, the amygdala automatically activates the flight or fight response. However, the frontal lobes process the information to determine if the threat is real and what a logical response would be. In a sense, the frontal lobes and the amygdala are at odds with each other. Lord, give us the strength to look at the situations for what they are. We could do all things through you who gives me strength. Allow me to process this for what it is according to your will. I'm happy for my amygdala, don't get me wrong, that's okay. So over the last 15 years, there's been a concept it's called emotional intelligence. There's been studies that say that an emotionally intelligent person has the ability to register feelings and emotions and look at their current situation and be able to manage them better. And the reason why I talk about this is, and I'm really driving this point, is because, church, in order for us to help others, we need to understand who we are first. Amen? How can we expect to help other people? Okay? Emotional intelligence is a set of skills that show how well you can recognize your own behaviors, moods, and impulses, and how to best manage them depending on the situation. Emotional intelligence is a part of your life. Emotional intelligence is a part of you that affects every aspect of your life. Understanding the root causes of your emotions and how to use them can help you effectively identify who you are and how you interact with others. In short, emotional intelligence refers to the ability to understand and manage your emotions. And it goes on to say, understanding what emotion you are experiencing or why you're experiencing that emotion is not enough to manage your emotions. And this is why I love the Bible so much. And the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus. Amen, right? That's right. Managing your emotions is a deliberate and purposeful process. This can be accomplished in a variety of ways. The overarching goal is to develop tactics that use your emotions to help you achieve a goal rather than letting your emotions use you to generate a futile outcome. And that's why I love the Bible. And that's why I love the Holy Scripture. And that's why I love my teacher, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to show you and give you an example. A couple of examples. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Thought. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Action. And and the God of peace will be with you. Experience. Isn't that a process? Is that a tactic? Right? Amen? Here's another example. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Action. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thought. Then you will be able to test and approve of God's will, of what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Experience. Am I driving my point? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Action. And lean not on your own understanding. Thought. I mean, how much more clear can it be? In all your ways, submit to Him. Action. And He will make your path straight. Experience. Benefits of emotional intelligence. Healthier relationships, become more disciplined in establishing boundaries in aspects of your life. We all do need some boundaries. Hashtag moms. Right? Moms, you're eating off of 3 Cheetos a day. You're hungry. Right? Boundaries. I don't know how you guys do it. You guys do such a great job managing at home, work. That's a lot. Health is another benefit. Negative emotions, especially those that are bottled up, bring along health issues. And studies have shown that when you bottle up and you don't address your concerns and you have these negative emotions and you don't articulate them or let them go, it does bring some health concerns. You make better decisions. Ability to help others increases and helps further God's kingdom, all for His glory. This is what it's all about. Amen. Amen, right? We want to be able to further God's kingdom. And if you could understand yourself better and your emotions and be able to understand them in your circumstances, guess what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to recognize them in other people. Become more trustworthy and become a better listener. I put that for me. Okay? Because I need to listen more. Right? You could ask my wife that. Okay? All right. So how do we do it? Self-reflection. Okay? When you're in that situation where you're feeling and you're being pressured or you have a challenge in front of you, what is the emotion that you're feeling? What does the emotion tell me about what I value? Now, these are deep questions that you need to take a step back and really understand. Ask yourself thought-provoking questions. What does this emotion tell me about what I need, what I value, and what I need right now? Second letter to the Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension and allegations. And pretension, I went ahead and defined it. It's an allegation of a doubtful value that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, again, right? Action. We take captive. What does captive mean? Imprisoned or confined. Have you made an attempt to capture your thoughts? Have you actually taken it and confined it? I encourage you this next week, write down your thoughts. Take inventory of your thoughts and see what they look like. And the reality of it is that whatever you're thinking, that's the direction that you're going. Okay? Every thought to make it obedient, submissive, compliant to Christ. So take that thought captive. Write it down and then make it compliant to our Lord and Savior, what would he have to say about that thought? Would it be true? Would it be false? Here are six ways to take your thoughts captive. Accept the responsibility for your thoughts. Hey, if you're thinking it, take responsibility. Say, hey, yes, I did think that. Lord, please forgive me. Your mind, not just your behavior, must change. You change the way you think. You change the way you feel and your emotions. And then you change your behavior. Think through your problems rather than just to react. It's easier said than done, right? And at the end of today's sermon, I wanted to make it interactive. I'm going to fill it in. Okay. Take your disabling thoughts captive through confession. What I just did right now. Take the thought captive. Please, Lord, forgive me. Take responsibility. Choose to focus on your thoughts. Choose to focus your thoughts on the right things. That's what the book of Philippians says. I just read that verse. Believe it is possible to take your thoughts captive. So for those of us that have that lingering voice, this is not God's voice. Faults, condemnation, accusations, retaliation, failure, imperfections, threat and punishment, that is not God's voice. Now I want to bring the fact that the book of Ephesians gives us some scripture here as it relates to the armor of God. The helmet of salvation. You know, in war and in battles, next to the heart, the head is one of the most important things. And the reason why, in my thought, my opinion, the reason why it's called a helmet of salvation is because that's where the doubt comes in. And we are children of Christ. We're saved. Period. Breastplate of righteousness. That's our heart. In battle, you hit someone in the heart, they die. Right? And being righteous, not worldly righteousness, but godly righteousness, having that right relationship with God all the time. Being in connection with Him. The belt of truth. The belt of truth holds it together. And that's what we stand by. Sword of the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit, man, because He helps us. He's our teacher. And He helps us fight those battles. The shield of faith. Faith, there are things that are hoped for that we don't see, but we know that they're true. And feet of peace. Wherever we go, we're being peace makers. Powerful spiritual breakthroughs take place deep before our lives when we slow down, spend time with God in stillness and in Scripture. This provides space for His purifying love to burn away all that is false. So when we spend time with Him, He cleanses us and He takes all that stuff out. Right? We have the chance to surrender to Him, surrender our thoughts and emotions and ask us, Lord, You tell me the person You want me to be today. And set us free to live authentically in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. All right. So ways to manage your emotions. The first one, name the emotion, and that's the blank you're currently feeling. Now, I really want to stress that. Because in order for you to defeat what your challenge is, you need to know who it is. And that's the way, and that's the way it is with the military. When there's military action, there's reconnaissance that happens. We need to understand who our enemy is. I do it in my business too. I do what you call a SWOT, which is strengths. I need to determine what my strengths are, my weaknesses are, my opportunities and my threats. And I do it for the competitor as well. And we have to do it here too. How can you defeat something that you don't know what it is or who it is? What does this emotion tell me about what I value and need right now? I'll tell you what I needed. What I needed in my seamless Boston trip. I was so upset at the fact that I was wasting my time. You know, I started trying to make logic out of everything. You know, I started trying to use reasoning. Okay, well, I'm going to travel literally 24 hours for a 3-hour meeting. That doesn't make sense. Right? But later I figured out, and I knew that this is the message I needed to deliver today, because time is the ugly, sophisticated cousin of control. And I didn't have control. And God revealed to me that I still have that part in me. And that was my learning experience. All right. Self-reflection. The chances are, if you're being tempted, it falls into the three categories of pride of life, lust of the eyes, or lust of the flesh. What is the biblical truth about how I'm feeling? And we could do that by bucking up my feelings and emotions to the Holy Scripture, which is the truth. My identity is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, not the circumstance. When I put my identity in Christ, I know that He loves me. I got the fruits of the Spirit inside me, not my circumstance, which my circumstance will probably tell me otherwise. My circumstance will tell me that I'm failing, that I'm wasting my time, that I'm not good enough. And that's a lie. Repentance. Sit still in prayer. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exhausted among all nations. I will be exhausted in the earth." So be still. Be still. That's a delicate balance. And I'm going to finish it off with the verse in Genesis. Pray for the other. Pray for the person you have a disagreement with. Release it. Let it go. I always like to implement a 24-hour rule. In the heat of the moment, we feel things intensely, and it's easy to say things we wouldn't say if we were calmer, and later regret. A self-imposed 24-hour rule, taking 24 hours to let the dust settle and gain perspective on what is it that's vexing us. It is a helpful discipline. So give yourself 24 hours. Let it settle, then revisit it. And the chances are that it probably wasn't a big deal anyways. Seek guidance to provide perspective. Ask other people. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Ask two Christians. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 27. That's who we trust, and that's who He is. So I'm gonna read off of Exodus. I said Genesis early. Exodus 14. You want to open your Bibles and we'll finish it off. Exodus 14, 10. I should have wrote the scripture up there. I was just talking about my glasses, but here we go. 10 through 16. All right. And this is when the Israelites were fleeing Israel and the Egyptians were coming after them right before the parting of the sea. Okay? As the Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up, panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough grace for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" So they thought it was better to be a corpse in the be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move, to keep moving." Isn't that amazing? Stay still. Keep moving. And that is what faith is. We may not know what's ahead of us, but we need to keep our minds still. And sit in silence when we're under pressure. Lord, I just really want to thank you. You spoke to me this week, Lord. Now I know why you had me travel across the world, across the country, and then come back, because you wanted me to relay this message. And I hope that if anyone is going through any doubts or any challenges or anything of that nature, that you protect our thought life, Lord. That you allow us to use our frontal lobes to really look at the circumstances and allow us to stay calm and sit still and move on in faith. And with that, I'll let you go. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. And God bless you all, okay? All right.